Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you.
We were talking about this hiker who had to carry a snapped leg while crawling for 2 days in search of help. So yeah. That's a badass.
That's badass, yeah.
AJ and Ashley had a badass moment this week on the show. They stuck their hands in animal traps.
Yes.
Who are we doing first? Ashley?
Yes, we're going to start with Ashley in the moment where we found out it was going to be her.
Chaz and AJ.
It's Ashley.
Come on!
Wow.
All right.
Okay. Right. Okay. And come straight down.
Ready? That's the same sound of possum.
I love that it took a second to get from her hand to her brain.
Like a dinosaur. It entered her body and was searching for her brain, yes.
And can we slow that down?
It's like you put a trap in the refrigerator.
It's only a very sick animal.
Snap.
It's like a cartoon moment.
It's like a plane flew too low.
Or like a cartoon cat.
Right. Yeah, the cat really has to poop. Yeah.
Sing tiger.
Don't sip of the cat's tail.
And then AJ put his toes in a mouse trap.
Yes.
You're going to do what, AJ?
I'm going to do a trick that I did in front of Steve-O from Jackass. Actually made him cringe. I'm going to put my foot in a mouse trap.
Oh, boy.
Flip-flop is off.
Okay. Nice and quiet, please.
Oh. Got his big
Get
nail.
Get his face! Swipe!
It's on his big toe!
Wait, you got another mouse trap?
Yes.
He was going to do it twice.
Yeah. Smaller right. toes in 3, 2, 1.
I heard a snap. I heard a snap. Oh, my God. It got like the middle three
I heard
toes.
A crack.
Are your bones made out of pretzel sticks?
All right, so don't use mouse traps.
No, don't do that.
On humans.
How?
Use them on mice, that's it.
Or you can use just the trap that gets them stuck or in the box. You don't
nah,
like
the
traps
that
them.
Get them stuck, they end up eating, they'll chew their arm off.
Glue traps?
Excuse me.
The glue traps.
Excuse me. You have any ice?
I need some ice.
I forgot you're over there with your toes in a trap.
That's a little red mark going across my little toe nose. That was when it hurt the most. The big toe not so bad. The little toes, wow.
Yeah, the second one, it sounded like you snapped a bunch of mattress sticks in there. Yeah.
Felt like it.
What was the word you were trying to say?
Fa. Fa.
Fa.
Yeah.
Fa.
I think you know what the word was going to be. Yeah. I stopped myself.
Fa.
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 Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't add the two consonants at the end.
We just had her on yesterday, and then the video was released. Phil, you want to set this up?
Yeah. This was something that was months in process. So Amanda was wearing a prosthetic leg for 10 years. She blew out a hydraulic chamber. She was leaking hydraulic fluid. And wow. I don't mean to laugh. It's just, it sounds like she's Iron Man or something.
Yeah,
just,
it does.
And it, like, yep. So it actually sucks because it stains like the stockings. And like once it starts coming through, like it ruins jeans. It ruins anything that it touches. So she had to get a new prosthetic leg. They cost quite a bit of money. Her particular model is upwards of $30,000. Now,
wow.
Insurance does cover some of that. I think 80% was what the insurance that she has was able to cover. But that still leaves you with a pretty large chunk of change. So she reached out to Chive Charities. And if you-
when you watch this 10-minute video, you see that she didn't want to ask for help.
No, she didn't.
No.
Phil said, you got it. You got to do something.
Exactly.
But there's a 10-minute video. It's linked up on our Facebook
yes.
page, the Chive Story. Click on the Chive Story. Scroll down to the bottom. There's a video. It's 10 minutes. It's a 10-minute version of this woman's life. She's a badass.
Right.
I didn't realize there's two, what is it, genes that you're supposed to have to fight cancer?
Tumor suppressing. You get one from mom, one from dad.
Right.
A tumor suppressing gene.
Right.
And Amanda was only born with one.
Gotcha.
Right. So you've had 8 bouts with cancer, 5 different types?
Yes. Yeah. So 5 different types with the relapses counted in there. It's been a total of 8 times.
That's badass. Wow. And then you put up with Phil for how many years?
Exactly.
That's badass.
That long way.
AJ, yeah. What I found most interesting about this video is I finally got to see Phil's house.
Very nice house.
Yeah. Really?
Nice house, man. Nice.
How long have you lived there, Phil?
Since December. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. Nice house.
Ashley, have you been there yet?
No, but I thought the exact same thing. I was like, wow.
I'm like,
I'm not inviting him over here.
I'm like, our producer has a nicer house than I do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of construction happening.
Yeah.
Yep.
But wow, what a story. And I love that you got to click on this video. So she's a badass, right? But I love the guy rings the bell. Amanda opens the door. He doesn't know what to say, right?
Yeah, no.
Do you find that people are awkward around you because you have one leg? Like they don't know how to make it, you know, normal?
I mean, most people, you know, they'll ask a question and it'll be like, oh, did you hurt yourself? And I'll say, oh, no, actually, I have a prosthetic leg. And they're like, they freeze. And they say, I'm so sorry.
It's like they just walked into something that they didn't mean to.
Right. They felt, like, oh, twist your ankle. And then it's, I'm missing a leg.
They don't say, oh, me too.
This might be personal. I don't want to get into this.
Right.
Exactly.
So the guy opens the door. I mean, Amanda opens the door and he says, welcome. The guy says, welcome. And Amanda says, what do you mean, welcome? You're at my house. Welcome to my house.
Yeah, you set him straight immediately.
Right. Then the guy's like, so what do you got in Connecticut? You got maple syrup or crab cakes?
No.
And she's like, no, I think you're thinking Vermont or Maryland. Like the first 12 seconds she's on the screen, I'm laughing out loud like 3 times. She's so fast.
You should have said,
so
what are you, an idiot?
Yeah. No, but this guy, he's the top guy there, right? So this became a whole process.
Co-founder. Yep.
Right. They were going to have someone do it. And when the story came across his desk, he said, oh, no, I'm doing this one. He was definitely the right guy to do it. Definitely
the right guy. You saw even just how much our senses of humor just like completely meshed. Like we were just going back and forth and ribbing each other. And we had such a good time. And he was such a kind person. And, I really can't be more thankful for them because I'm now walking on a leg that like functions and doesn't cause me pain. And it's leaking hydraulic fluid. And it's because of them. It's really cool.
It was the one time I could like text someone, nice leg.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
and not get in trouble.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I'm doing it.
That's a good feeling.
Did you hear her badass moment in her badass video, though? She could name all the brothers in Good Will Hunting.
That was a badass moment.
Oh, my God.
That's badass, really.
Yeah, I have a feeling you could do it right now.
I could. You want me to?
Yes, please.
All right. It's Marky, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Zoe, Robbie, Johnny, and Brian.
You know, it's funny. You did that, and then he said, do it again.
Yeah, like he didn't believe it.
Right. It's like you just got lucky.
Or was turning him on. or was turning him on.
Yeah.
One of the two.
That story's an inspiration, and those kids that you talk to, they could not have a better person come in and talk to them after they get the worst news of their life.
Seriously.
So,
thank you.
It was really, really
inspiration. I love what I do.
And, I think it loves you right back.
Yep.
You know? So, I love the story. I think people need to go to our Facebook page.
Check it out.
Absolutely.
Click on that link. Scroll all the way. There's a lot of great pictures, but then the video's down on the bottom. And watch that video. It's 10 minutes, and it's inspiring, funny, and badass all at the same time.
Thank you for sharing it. And, in the article, if you read in between the pictures, there's a mention of Amanda's sort of like celebrity crush that she's reached out to a lot during her life, who's Tino Martinez, used to play with the Yankees. So, Amanda, do you want to tell them what happened last night?
Yeah, sure. So, Tino was a big part of actually, like, my cancer process, and I got to meet him a few times, and he was always so kind and gracious, and again, was on the New York Yankees during the late 90s when they won all of those championships, so he was kind of a big deal, and, eventually, like, we met and we got each other's phone numbers. He would call me before my surgeries and he would text me to make sure, you know, how I'm doing. Like, really, really good guy.
That's the real deal. Yeah. That's not just, I'm going to come, take a picture, then see you later.
You have a PR.
Signed bats, jerseys, but, like, trips to the ballpark. And, like, these calls meant more than all of those things. You know, like, I know that you're going in tomorrow. Good luck. We're rooting for you. I mean, just can't even put it into words, like, how much that meant to Amanda.
So Phil encouraged me. He's like, I know you're not going to want to do this, but please text Tino, share the article with him. Like, he's going to want to see this, and I think he'd appreciate it. So, of course, I text him. He doesn't text immediately back. But again, like, about 10 minutes goes by, which, of course, is the length of the video, which means, oh, he watched it. And he sends me this great message that was like, oh, my, he goes, damn, Amanda. Wow, what a great story. Would love to get a beer with you sometime. Love beer.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That was the other thing you did for Connecticut. Because he was like, you know, what do you got, crab cakes, maple syrup? He goes, no, beer.
We got great beer.
Yeah. What do you have in Connecticut? Great beer. Well. And counterweight. I don't know. They should, like, pull a truck up to your house.
Yeah, really?
You did a nice job. The only other thing in that video that I was like, hey, man, what's up with this? You left those refrigerator doors open for a long time. Mm. Like, when Jennifer does that at the house, I'm like, you know, electricity.
When you cool up the whole house here. It would have barred closed door.
Great job. Great job.
Thank you.
All right. So 2 days in a row you've been on the show now. I think we have a record now. Yeah. So, all right. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully they clinch.
Yes.
That would be a moment.
Yes, it
would
be great.
The grocery tax.
It's gross.
Everybody's confused.
It's gross.
Grocery tax.
Yes.
Republican lawmakers calling for a special session to fix this. Mm. And, you know, Arsimowitz is being snarky and the governor's spokesperson is being snarky. I think the governor was at the Big E yesterday and asked about it was Connecticut Day there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like it's a bad visual to have all these people back in your home state, like, confused. Like, I don't know. What do we tax? What do we not? The store owners are really like, hey,
there's chaos.
You got to figure this out.
Yeah, it's chaos.
We're law-abiding citizens.
Right.
And we don't know what to do. So now he's like walking around the, you know, the Big E, like having a donut or whatever.
Corn dog, yeah.
It's a bad visual.
It really is.
You know, it's like you should be behind your desk now or on the phone.
Right.
Like, let's straighten this out. We got a problem in the state. I'm not walking around a festival.
Get some corn dog in your teeth there, sir.
Yeah. Hmm. So there was a recent interview I was reading through. Have you ever been to LeBon's Market?
LeBon? I can't say I have.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's one in Woodbury. And there's one in Watertown.
Okay.
And it's like old school market, right? You could go in and like people you know, but it's like everything's fresh and you can get those things that maybe a bigger chain wouldn't carry.
Oh, yeah?
And it's really neat.
I check it out.
Bob LeBon was interviewed and he basically was saying this is going to be a big problem October 1st, which is not long from right now. He's on the phone now. Hey, Bob.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure.
What's the problem that you, as a owner of a market, is going to run into with this grocery tax?
Well, there's several problems. You know, one of the things is just clearly the definitions. Like, they have meal replacement bars. So, you know, you tell me what a meal replacement bar. We have probably 300-400 different varieties. Is it, you know, based on a protein count, on a size? So there's one confusion. Salads, you know, that used to be non-taxable healthy salads, like Olivia's organic salads are now, they're less than, 8 ounces or less, they're now going to be taxable. If you're Mrs. Jones and you're just buying 7 ounces of egg salad to get you through the next 2 days for your two sandwiches, that is now going to be taxable. We only have one code in our register systems and our scales for egg salad. So now we have to create a whole separate set of codes for anything that's going to be less than 8 ounces. And the system is not set up designed to do that. And it's going to, so you're working on the deli counter, you have to wait to see what it's going to be weighed out and then figure out which code, whether it's taxable or not taxable, put that right code in. And hopefully they get it right because then they're going to be complaining at the cashiers, you know, hey, you charged me tax. I got over 8 ounces.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
It's a nightmare.
If you thought the plastic bag thing was a disaster, remember that?
Yeah. Here comes
we're
part
just getting
two.
Through that where we're like, you know, pay. You want to pay for a bet?
No, I'll just juggle it way out.
Right. I'll Appreciate just carry everything and make eight trips.
I got big pockets.
This is going to be like 1,000 times worse.
Yep.
It's like when the wave comes over, our head is like barely out of the water. Like, okay, I can breathe. Right. And now it's another wave coming.
Here comes bedlam.
Yeah.
And it's going to personally attack the seniors that buy in small quantities that are already on fixed income. So now they have to pay this extra tax, where if you're buying six muffins, you don't have to pay the tax. If you're buying three or four, you will have to pay the tax.
Jeez.
So it's very frustrating. Very frustrating that they didn't come to our, you know, industry and say, hey, this is what we're thinking of doing.
Right.
You see any roadblocks? And it's just now with just 3 weeks to do it, and you know, we don't have a staff of 15 people to just go in and data mine all this information and try and figure it out. And of course, we want to be compliant as of October 1st. So hopefully they're all listening loud and clear, and they're going to do something to adjust this, because it's just a nightmare. And certain ice cream sizes, like don't quote me on it, but I think Ben and Jerry's is still 16 ounces, and Haagen-Dazs might be down to 15 and a half or 15. So that is under 16 ounces. So now that's going to be taxable, because you're thinking you're eating that whole pint of Haagen-Dazs, where you're not going to eat the 1 ounce more of Ben and Jerry's. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Wow. How much are aspirin right now?
There's going to be companies that just say, I'm not even dealing with this place.
Yeah, really.
Like, it's too complicated.
Right.
And you're right. And you keyed in on it. This is the result of a bunch of people getting in a room saying, how can we suck more money out of these people? Not saying, wait a minute, let's talk to people. Let's see how this is going to roll out.
Let's consult.
Right. Let's know what we're doing.
Yeah. Let's get an idea
first. There's no let's know what we're doing going on up there.
Let's get a pulse first and then figure it out. So they just kill the patient.
All right.
Well, I mean, one of the things I'm proud of, the fact that the power of the people is working in this case. They're saying, this, we're not happy, and they're making a lot of noise. And for once, people in Hartford are listening. And hopefully, you know, they remember these kind of things and vote their conscience and who's doing things for the better part of the state in the next election, because that's important.
Yeah.
We want people listening up there.
Well, they do now, so we forget next time the election comes around. We forget all the pain. So
yep.
they inject the pain right after the election.
Thanks for the injection.
So, all right, Bob, thank you. And awesome market, by the way.
Yeah, and good luck.
I love
LeBron. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, brother.
I have a headache just listening to that.
Well, it's like they don't want to do hard work.
Do they
they don't want to do all that stuff. Like, you guys do it.
Right.
Are they taxing aspirin?
Put the pleasantries aside and go behind the desk and do something productive. I don't know. So, it's so frustrating.
Talk to the queen and pound the desk?
You're a quote machine. And I like how you sounded British. Put the pleasantries aside. And then you switch back to Ashley. And get behind your desk and do something.
Maybe that will get it through their head.
Actually,
I don't know.
She's pounding a chicken cutlet.
Maybe an accent.
Was that taxable?
Whatever it takes.
Yep. All right. Okay. Well, this more of what you've come to expect from Hartford.
Yes.
Everybody should sit down and have some tea and get the deal done. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. You see this thing going on with Iran? I try to, like, not pay attention.
When did they ever stop with Iran, really?
This is the thing. Now, if you're 20-something, I just want to tell you, this country, Iran, has always been a problem.
Since the late 70s.
This is one of those, like, your mother-in-law in the back seat telling you how to drive.
Yeah.
Like, it just never ends, okay?
Hmm.
This country, for as long as I can remember, they're always just a thorn in our side.
They're the
right?
annoying little brother. They won't go away.
Right. They're like the size of a mall parking lot.
Yeah.
And they give us big, big headaches.
You want to swat them with a fly swatter.
Right. So they're making nuclear weapons. We know that probably is not a good thing.
No.
We put all these sanctions on them, right?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, these sanctions really suck.
Even Kim Jong-un.
How do we, what do we do?
What do we do?
So they send a drone over to Saudi Arabia, blow up a couple oil fields, and then the markets go wacky. The oil fields are back online. But now the United States is like, well, what do we do?
What do we do?
What do we do? Do we go to war? Do we do this? Do we do that?
What do we do?
And there's some lawmakers saying, well, we've got to go to war. Then there's some saying, well, not so fast. President Trump was asked about it, and he said, his quote was right out of a cartoon.
What's that?
Do we have the quote? All right, here it is.
No, I actually think it's a sign of strength. We have the strongest military in the world now. And I think it's a great sign of strength. It's very easy to attack. But if you ask Lindsay, ask him, how did going into the Middle East, how did that work out? And how did going into Iraq work out? So we have a disagreement on that. And, you know, there's plenty of time to do some dastardly things. It's very easy to start. And we'll see what happens.
Dastardly things.
Did he put his mustache sent in? Like, it's some dastardly things.
Dastardly.
I love that dastardly.
We should bring back all these old vocabulary words, I think.
Well, he's trying to.
The Iranian leader, he kind of does look like a cartoon villain.
He does. Oh, no, no. Actually, he's the Winter
Warlord. I mean that, yeah, it's not disrespectful. I think he likes to portray himself as a badass.
He's the Winter Warlock.
He's the Winter Warlock.
The Winter Warlock from right. Rudolph?
No, yes! But he would definitely...
choo-choo. No one's ever put me a choo-choo. Winter, please.
That's right. All we need to do is give him a little choo-choo.
Exactly. His heart will melt. Winter, please.
Right. Oh, we finally found the touchstone that unites AJ and Ashley.
Good job, AJ.
Rankin Bass every time, damn it.
I wonder if they had to look up the word, like dastardly, you know? Like, what does that mean? What does that mean?
That's the wacky racers.
Right. Here it is. Hmm. And then the Iranian translation. And
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dastardly.
Dick Dastardly.
That's funny. So, war with Iran. Oh, is the president on the phone now? Let's find out. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Spaz and Ray J. Great having me on again.
That was close, I guess.
Yeah.
I've heard worse.
What's the deal with Iran? Are we going to go to war with them?
You know what? I will tell you, it's been a tough week for Iran, especially with the Saudi Arabia thing. All the signs are pointing to them. I mean, it's...
With the oil fields.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very bad for them. Almost as bad as it was for my fantasy football team when the Steelers' Ben Roethlisberger got injured.
No.
But, you know, to answer your question, we're closer to war. We're locked and loaded. Locked and loaded. Isn't that great?
Locked and loaded.
By the way, that's also our Secret Service code name for my daughter, Tiffany.
Gotcha.
Completely locked out of the will. Right. She really is. But seriously, we're locked and loaded for war, and by that I mean a war on Twitter. Nobody beats me on Twitter.
Oh, no, okay. No.
You reign supreme. I feel better about that.
You reign supreme, sir.
Chez and AJ Food Fest, if you're in Connecticut and available.
The Food Fest is huge there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I heard Rosie O'Donnell's already got her four tickets. No, her family's not going with her, but she's still using the four-pack.
Just for her.
Go figure.
Yeah, right. Take care of Rosie.
And I wonder if you could settle something for us. Eddie Money died. You know who Eddie Money is?
Rest in peace.
Rick Ocasek. Do you know who Rick Ocasek is?
He was from the door. No, the Cars.
The right. Cars.
Right, you're right. Close.
Cars. I knew it was a plural. Car. It was a plural noun.
Not the car doors.
No.
Something.
The car, yeah.
Right. Just the cars.
The car
right.
Itself, yes.
And then Cokie Roberts died. And I know you know who she is.
Cokie Roberts.
Right.
Yeah, she wasn't very nice to me, but, you know, she was respectful. I will tell you that.
Does she round out the trifecta of celebrities?
I think you're going to need somebody else.
Everybody.
Tip the scale. That's like 2.5.
Yep. Exactly.
Cokie Roberts. Come on.
Yeah, really.
All right. President Trump, thank you for coming on. AJ and I disagree on this one.
Hmm.
I don't think you're going to hear a dumbass on this 911 call. An UPS driver on the wrong end of a delivery is the headline. The audio is the guy is being attacked by 5 angry pit bulls.
Right.
Who's the dumbass here?
I would say it's the 911 operator.
The 911 operator is the dumbass.
Yeah, because the guy is being attacked. He's just kind of like, you know.
All right, let's listen.
911, what are you reporting?
Hi, I've been attacked by 5 pit bulls. I'm a UPS driver.
The first second, I thought the dog called.
Better call. You better get an ambulance. My 4 buddies are taking this guy out.
Send ketchup.
More milk mugs.
Right.
Where are you at?
116th Street.
Do you need medical aid?
No, really? You need medical aid? Being attacked by dogs, dumbass. I would say yes.
Well, the question is, are you like, you know, on a fire escape somewhere?
You can hear the dogs.
Do we need to shoot the dogs away, or are you bleeding?
He's been attacked, you know.
Sometimes the most obvious questions get the best answers.
Right.
Yes, I'm big out of vein. I'm bleeding profusely.
Profusely.
Okay. Profusely. See? He's got a big vocabulary there. So
I don't think I would use that word.
Well, you know,
these dastardly dogs have bitten me.
Well, he's trying to be, you know, let her know how bad this is.
And right. I'm bleeding profusely.
So you're saying the dumbass is the 911
yes.
operator?
Yes, because, you know, first of all, don't be so damn calm. This guy is being attacked. Call someone.
So dispatch. Would that make the person Condo. Feel better if they're being attacked and then the 911 operator says, oh, my God, what are we going to do?
No, not what we're going to do.
Holy crap.
You say, hey.
I'm freaking out, man.
Don't worry, buddy. I'm sending someone in there right now.
How many? Okay. Five dogs? We can't handle five dogs.
Five dogs. No. You got to show some confidence as far as being 911
You're
operator.
You're bleeding profusely. You're probably going to die.
I got to get someone over there right now. Stat. Don't worry.
Right now, say. Stat.
Yeah.
It's like saying right now, right now.
You know, you say stat.
Does that mean later?
That means stat.
Right. Stat is out. Immediately, right?
Exactly, like, yes, right.
Yeah, like, so you say right now, right now.
Right now, right now, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm getting paramedics on the line with us. Hold on, okay?
She sounds pretty concerned to me.
What do you mean, hold on?
There's a concerned tone.
Where's
I'm getting
go?
Paramedics right away.
Where's she going to go? Head on. Hold on. Where's she going to go? Hold on. Okay. I was thinking of leaving, but thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah.
She's telling him. You're not going to hear me for a second. I'm going away. I'm calling paramedics. Don't hang up.
She should say, listen, stay
on
the line.
That very quickly.
Saying, hold on. Hang on a second. My Pop-Tarts are coming out. Hang on a second.
Time is of the essence, and saying, hold on, gets it all done in two syllables.
Yes.
Okay. Are you calling your mom now?
Fire medical aid, the address of your emergency. The transfer, the address is 116th Street East. He's being attacked by pit bulls.
This is one of the most efficient 911 operators I've ever heard.
It's taking so much time, man.
In.
The guy's being eaten by dogs, okay? Hurry up.
He's been eaten.
Guy's being eaten by dogs. You heard the dogs. You heard it.
What
profusely.
Are you supposed to do? Make, like beam rescue workers down?
Just send like it's a Star anyone Trek in the area. Get in there now. Get in there now. Guns blazing.
Well, right. If you're being attacked, I don't, like... profusely like that. I don't think you have the capability to call 911 at that time.
Profusely means get over here now. I'm bleeding to death.
But how do you want them to get there faster?
He said the address. Boom, go.
30 seconds. They're talking to the paramedics. They've been dispatched.
They're 25 already. Seconds late already.
All right, let's hear that.
Five of them.
Five of them? Where are they now?
They're...
Are they locked up, sir?
They detected him, you idiot.
This is the new person.
You hear
this
dog.
Is the new person.
There's two people on the phone now. She doesn't know anything.
Well, the other should have told her.
I do like the inference in this. Are they locked up? her tone almost suggests like, we're not dealing with the dogs. We'll come and we'll wrap your leg, but we're not dealing with
those
dogs.
If the dogs are running loose, then you're on your own.
She sounds like, I've done this before.
When they're finished,
are they locked up?
Yeah.
When they're finished eating, we'll come over and tranquilize them and take them away.
No, but you hear in a few seconds now. She needs to know, do I call the cops or the all right, so the cops have to come in first, take care of these dogs, and then we can have the paramedics.
Call a SWAT team, man.
Are they locked up, sir?
No, they're all loose. I need deputies here. They're going to have to put them down.
Oh.
Okay. I need deputies
here. Why don't you put them down? See?
Yeah.
See?
That's not his call.
That lets you, the dogs are eating him.
He's bleeding to death.
He's being
it's a judgment call.
Right.
These dogs are trying to kill me. They need to be put down.
They don't
down.
Need, like, love and understanding.
He sounds just fine.
They say, who's a bad doggy? Who's a bad doggy? They don't need that.
Okay, what is your name?
Kevin.
What does that make? What difference does it make?
Well, they want to know which bleeding guy they tend to first.
The guy who's
Kevin called first.
The guy who's all bloody is the guy who's calling.
Right.
What's my birthday?
Well, if they
next?
Arrive on scene and there's multiple bloody people, like, who's Kevin? Okay, you called first. You're in line.
There's one guy
it's
in
like
the phone.
Being at the deli counter.
There's mm-hmm. one guy in the phone and five dogs. Do the math.
Right. What did...
A lot of mumbling. I'm a UPS driver.
Because he's dying.
Right. So it's the guy in brown uniform
now
with
red.
A red leg.
It's now red.
Right.
Okay, and what's your number, Kevin?
Why?
Are you back in your room?
Right, hold on.
Why does she need the number? Should I call him for a date later? Send someone down.
They already have people on the way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But
they
now
have
get
the address.
Chit-chat.
They
right.
have the deal.
So what kind of day are you having?
This is the keep them on the phone portion of the call.
Did they wash your truck this
right.
time?
Yeah. You know. The other thing is, clearly she doesn't have a screen that shows the number.
We have lunch.
So if we lose contact with you, we're going to need your number.
We have some lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you like to eat?
No, I'm trapped on a treadmill.
I gotta say, these dogs should have sore throats by now.
I know.
Well,
wow.
David, lubricated with blood.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's they have not stopped.
The dogs.
I wonder if like they're taking over for one another.
Yeah.
Like you know, when you're doing like chest compressions and you get tired, you're
tag
like, okay,
team.
You're on.
Right.
Wow.
Come on, Bruno. Funny.
Shifts.
They have not stopped.
Right.
No, I'm trapped on a trailer. I'm bleeding profusely on my left leg. They got to take.
Okay. We're gonna. Police are gonna get going. They gotta get there before the fire. But I want you to find a cloth, any type of cloth.
I can't get out there. As I said, they surrounded me.
She's trying to tell him now. You need to wrap that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to, you know, find a cloth. I don't have a cloth.
Right.
Take your shirt off.
Are you
exactly.
Wearing a shirt?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Tell him to
do
take
you have
a shirt
sock?
Off. Tell him to take your shirt off.
Right.
Something.
Take your shirt off.
Whatever it takes. Use a sock. Use somebody else's sock. Use the fur of the dog. Whatever it takes.
Who, right. Who else is around?
Someone else's shirt.
Who else?
Who else?
Right, but in your trailer, I want you to. Is there a trailer in your cloth? I mean, a cloth in your trailer?
Sir!
Are you drinking?
All right, okay. That's the only dumbass moment.
Is there a trailer in your cloth?
In this whole cloth.
I don't know. Is there a brain in your head?
That would have been good if she waited a second more and he said. A trailer in my cloth.
Oh, what? even the dog stopped barking for a second. You notice right. That?
Yeah, the dogs are like, and their head's tilted.
Yeah.
What?
Have you brained your damage recently?
Yeah. Have you had your hit?
Can we hear that again?
Yeah.
Trailer in your cloth. I mean, a cloth in your trailer.
Dirt. All right.
Okay. Ooh.
Wow, these dogs sound like they're getting angrier.
Yeah. Now she has to ask them 20 questions. Just like, what's the address? We'll send someone right down. Don't need to get his name and telephone number. The guy bleeding with the dogs around him, that's the guy.
You're just going to happen. You're going to have something, and you're going to call 911, and the operator's going to say, are you that AJ guy?
Nope. No, I'm not.
I want to explain every question why we're asking these now.
Nope. Right. Nope.
Yeah, because like, what if this guy just called in and then just hangs up and then they show up and no one's there? It's like, well, what happened to the guy? Yeah.
Follow the blood.
Something happened. We got to find him.
Follow the blood.
Oh, but what happened if he is bleeding profusely and he loses consciousness? They have his name. They have his number. They have his info. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The key, I think, was, are the dogs locked up?
Right.
You know, because you could get the paramedics there and then they're just going to stand there and say, well... Now we got to call the cops.
Mm-hmm.
So she has the cops going. They're going to take care of the dogs, whatever they do. I don't know.
I would just send a SWAT team.
A SWAT team.
Send the SWAT team, guns blazing.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Right.
Keep yourself safe. We have the police started.
Keep yourself safe.
The fire department will be responding. If you can, wrap it up, okay?
I can't hear you with the barking.
Right. If you can, wrap it up and hold pressure on it. We're starting help for you.
I mean leg, right?
I'm going
to try. Okay. County, go ahead.
Okay, sir, when you say you're in a trailer, is this a house you've locked yourself in?
No, you moron! It's a trailer of the truck.
Is it?
Yeah.
A UPS truck with a trailer?
I'm guessing, yeah.
That'd be a nightmare.
He says, I'm in the trailer.
I'm picturing, yeah, like one of those big box trucks, and he's in the back, and he's rolled the door down.
Oh, really?
That's what I was picturing.
Oh, so he's safe.
For now, but his leg is
bleeding.
But
he's bleeding.
And the dogs are surrounded by him.
Mm. I don't know. I didn't get that feeling.
Because the doors are always open, right? They don't have, like, so you could just, like, hop right out?
Well, you have the sliding doors on the side. You have the big roll up in the back. But I don't think he has the smaller 18-wheelers, and he's in the back of that trailer.
Did we ever find out where he is?
No.
Okay, sir, when you say you're in a trailer, is this a house you've locked yourself in or someone's trailer, like a mobile home?
That's both. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Caller?
Hello. He'll see, no, he's dead.
Hello?
No, your damn question.
He's not dead.
He's dead. He's got to be dead by now.
No.
Hello?
Do we know if he died?
No, that's the end of the call.
Oh, crap.
I'm sure he didn't die.
Oh. It's an incident with a bus in Shelton. And on the phone right now is Detective Richard Banga with the Shelton Police Department. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
What
How
happened?
Are you?
Good, thank you. What happened?
Yeah.
Yesterday with the bus. Yeah. So this started Tuesday, I guess. Mr. Hutchinson got into an argument with the bus driver on Indian Wells Road. I guess he was unhappy about that.
So that's the Maples, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, it was right at the Maples.
All right. It's a strip of cottages along the river, AJ.
Okay, I've seen it. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. So I guess he was unhappy with it, so he kind of lied in wait the next day.
What do you know what the argument Tuesday was about?
They cut him off something?
I believe it was about the stop sign that bus puts out a lot.
Oh.
Having to stop all the time.
So the bus stops too many times.
Right.
But yes, listen, we've all been frustrated with that. I get it. But the way this gentleman went about it is certainly not the way to do it.
Okay.
So the next day, he decided to wait at the same exact time, stop the bus on his own, and board it, and start a disturbance.
Oh.
That's crazy.
Yeah, really. Can he reroute his trip?
What's for 2019. Now, in 1970, we used to have, like, you know, if you would moon... Or give a driver a finger.
Right, yeah.
That car would follow your bus to the next stop.
Yes, it would.
Get out of the car and climb on the bus.
And so settle your
hash. In the 70s, that was, well, it's just another day.
Exactly.
Yeah, things have changed a bit.
Yeah, right, nowadays, yeah.
You can't do that.
So this guy's 74, lives in the Maples, probably had to stop a million times at every cottage, right? Every house.
Listen, I've gotten behind a bus, and I've had to stop a dozen times in a quarter mile. I understand the frustration, but that is certainly not the way to go about it.
No way.
Right.
No way. And I guess he just didn't understand that.
So that happened Tuesday. So he gets into an argument with the driver? Like, what, they're yelling back and forth from the vehicles?
Yeah, and there's kids on the bus to make it worse.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people were asking me, well, how did he get on the bus? How did she let him on the bus? I mean, she didn't let him on the bus. She opens the door to let the kids out. And this guy just jumps on.
Okay, he's just bored. Yeah, he just jumped on.
He just jumped on and continued his gripe.
Did he use... So he was stewing on that from Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, building.
So.
Yeah.
That's holding that anger for a long time.
It is.
Yeah, a whole day over a bus.
He needs a hobby. Yeah.
Anger issues.
Yes.
She must have said something that really got in there, you know? And so he sits on that for a while. Now, did he use his car to cut the bus off or just at a stop he jumped on the bus?
From what I understand, he did is he stopped his car in front of the bus.
Oh.
And because you grew up in Shelton, the road's not very wide down there, so there's no going around it. It's this guy stopped, jumped out, sort of used his car as a roadblock. And,
yeah.
Oh, boy. He did like a police maneuver.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he gets on the bus, and was he, do you know what he was yelling or?
I don't know exactly what he said. From what I understand, it was an argument regarding the stop sign the day before. And, hey, listen, you can't go through those stop signs either.
No.
You
know,
No. We've been talking about that on the air. There seems to be a lot of that going around. I didn't realize it was such a serious problem until we talked about it on the air. And some folks emailed me some videos and some stories, and it's horrific.
Yeah.
And these bus drivers are frustrated.
Well, I will tell you, the bus drivers will call if they get your plate. I mean, 9 times out of 10, they'll call the police if you go through that stop sign.
Now, in Shelton, do you guys act on that? Someone calls?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
They're all over
Absolutely.
It.
So the bus driver getting your plate is enough for the cops to knock on the door and charge you or give you a ticket?
What we would do is when we respond, we would take a statement from the bus driver that so-and-so vehicle went through my stop sign. A lot of times on buses, there's a bus monitor, so it's more than one person.
Oh.
Also, there's cameras on buses. So a lot of times, you have it on camera.
Yeah, a good selfie, yes.
Yeah, so going through the bus, $475 fine.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It seems low considering what's at risk.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I like to hear, I like that I'm hearing that Shelton acts on it.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Because there was some talk that... there's some cities that they're like, yeah, you know.
Is that points on your license, too?
I would imagine.
I would imagine it is. I don't know that for sure, so I don't comment. But I would imagine that's a big one.
The only time it's not is if it's not a moving violation.
Oh, this one is. So
yeah, that's a moving violation.
That's a huge
violation.
Yeah. Okay. It's a stop sign times 10, so.
There you go.
So this guy, he goes on the bus and he yells, and there's kids on the bus.
Yeah.
And then... somehow he gets off, she gets him, or whatever, it ends.
She calls the police like she's supposed to.
While he's on the bus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
See, at that point, you get off the bus.
Oh, that sounds
like... car and take off.
So is he still yelling in the 911 call?
Well, I wasn't there, so I can't comment on that.
Hey, Channel 3! Go get that and send it to us.
Buddy!
Yeah, but you know, it makes it a lot worse that there was kids there.
Yeah, worse.
And there's kids sitting there staring at this. So, you know, subsequently, he was charged with risk of injury to a child, too, because he does this in front of the kids.
Is it a charge for each kid?
Yes.
Yep. Yes, 3 counts. There were 3 kids on the bus.
Was it worth it? No.
Oh, boy.
Hopefully he realizes that. But
well, he will now.
Yeah.
And, all right, so he was arrested right there. It wasn't like you guys had to go to his house and...
No. He was right there. He stayed. I guess he felt his side. He was justified by doing what he did.
Right.
Oh. So. That's when you know you're screwed up.
Yep.
Yeah.
He'll have his day court.
Go ahead. Call the cop.
Yeah.
I'll tell him. Go ahead. Call them.
Yeah. That's,
yep.
You know, sometimes you do something stupid in anger, but once you settle down, you have to have the ability to realize it was stupid.
Cut and run. Yeah. Cut and run.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes. Whatever he was upset about, maybe he was justified. I don't know. I wasn't there. But what he did went way beyond reasonable.
Not the way to handle it. Yeah.
Yes. Wow. Not the way to handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. Next time, have a conversation with somebody else.
Yes.
All right,
or
people.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Detective Bango, for coming on. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All right.
All right.
Yep. Nice work in Shelton, too.
Good work.
He's the best.
He's very good.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. I want to thank Mike Madden for giving me the detective's number yesterday.
Thank you, Mike.
Wow, that's crazy.
He is.
Have you ever had someone angry come on the bus? Like, we've had it.
We've had them yell at the bus, but not actually get on the bus.
No, I used to, you know, when I finally graduated to the back of the bus.
Right.
You know, because you can't go back there till, you know, it's like generations.
You got to be the cool person back there.
Right. Well,
yeah.
The eighth graders, you know, when you're in middle school, the eighth graders get off the bus. Like, they go on to high school, and it's like, I get to sit in the back.
Yeah. When your jacket.
Now I'm an eighth grader.
When your jacket smells really bad, like cigarettes, you've arrived.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're in the back of the bus, and then you see a car.
Yep.
They're making a face or
exactly.
whatever. You
right.
flip them off.
Right.
And now they're like doing the...
Yeah.
You see them like, yeah, like
the
bad
honk.
Pantomime. Yeah.
And you're like, ah, oh, of all the people I could have flipped off, I had to flip this person
the
off.
The nutbag, right.
Right. And now they're following the... I'm like, ah. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And your bus is not exactly a getaway vehicle, is it? It's bright yellow and slow.
And it stops
And it stops every 5 feet.
Yeah.
Yep. So. That's why I don't use it for bank robbers.
I had two incidences like that on the bus.
Really?
Where someone cut the bus off.
You were one of them, right?
I caused the incident the first time. I was in seventh grade. I mooned my best friend as he got off at his bus stop. He falls literally in the road laughing. The car behind us thought I was mooning them. Cuts the bus off going up a hill.
Like this guy.
The bus driver slams on the brakes. The woman who happened to be a mother of one of the children that were on the bus gets on and starts yelling at the entire bus.
Wow.
So the bus driver lets this crazy woman onto the bus. Oh, anyway, it was a whole long story.
It never happened today.
Never happened today. Whole long story. Long story short, my mom had
But wait. It just happened yesterday. In my mind, it wouldn't happen today, but it does.
It does.
Okay, go ahead.
So my mom had to speak to this woman, and she was apologizing and then turned into yelling at her because she just, like, wasn't backing down. So many, many years later, my same friend is driving that girl home from Maryland. They both went to the same college. And he's like, hey, do you remember when Phil mooned your mom? Like, it's a 4.5-hour drive from Maryland back to Connecticut. Like, on the last 10 minutes of the trip, he brings it up. And she was like, it's not funny. And they haven't spoken since.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
All because you're a-hole.
I know.
Wow.
It's like, dude, you saw, like, one 13-year-old butt in your life. Like, relax.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not funny. Funny.
His impression,
Yeah, it must have made an impression.
It really did, yeah. It's burned to his psyche.
Same bus, different
What do you
kid.
Think Phil's butt would look like? How old were you?
I don't want to know.
12, 13.
Oh, pasty white.
Pink.
Yep, definitely.
It's his face is pasty white.
It's still in the larval stage.
Isn't everybody's butt pasty white, though?
No.
It never sees the sun.
AJ said no immediately. Do you suntan your butt?
No, my butt's tan naturally.
Mm-hmm. Tanned naturally.
It's darker than most butts.
Right. It's not pasty white.
Exactly. Right.
Because I know you tan your feet.
On the butt
I
pigment
tan the rest
scale,
of my body, yeah.
AJ's on the darker side.
Yes.
He's got flip-flop tans, I saw.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Tan
Thank
lines.
You.
Yeah.
Right.
That's from parking lots, yes.
Yeah. Where? At the truck stops?
Our car shows, more like that, yes.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not a lot, lizard.
Okay. Let's move on here.
Okay.
Woman gives birth in a jack-in-a-box parking lot.
This dumbass
Speaking
news?
Of parking lots.
Is AJ there?
Yeah.
Nope.
Bakersfield, California.
Mm.
She's recovering after delivering her baby in a parking lot with a jack-in-box. Blah, 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 blah. She was driving her mother to the hospital. Gave birth. All right, so whatever.
Yeah.
What's the clip here?
The clip is a lady talking about it.
Which lady?
The mom.
The one. Right. This is the mom who delivered?
Yes, yeah, so you're going to hear a little bit of the 911 call into the lady who gave birth.
Okay.
So to my location, a female just delivered a
baby in the vehicle.
Hey there, now. I think this will be at Jack in the Box.
Employee from Jack in the Box definitely would love to say thank you because she was right there by my side the entire time until the ambulance made it to get me out of the car. I do want to thank everyone that assisted because now that I think back on it, they all jumped into action and it was just wonderful.
See that?
Is anyone picturing like a baby coming out of a Jack in the Box?
Yeah.
Yes, right. Or do you order that? You know, I want a baby Jack, you know?
Right.
You know? Now, if it was Burger King, Special Orders would upset them.
No, but if it's a boy, don't you have to name him Jack?
You have to, yes.
Jimmy Coplick on the show. Good morning, brother.
Hey, good morning. How you doing? Good
morning.
Excellent. We just talked to you on Monday, and I just want to recap if anyone didn't hear it. We were talking about the death of Eddie Money and the death of Rick Ocasek.
Yeah.
And you've had both Eddie Money and the Cars come through Connecticut for us.
Yes, I've had, I mentioned actually that the Cars came through Connecticut before they even released their first album. It was June of 1977. They opened up for Jay Giles at the Waterbury Palace Theater. And I had never heard of the act, and I thought Jay Giles was going to play the show all themselves. And I got a call from their manager about a week or two before the show and said, hey, they've got friends that are unsigned, but they'd like to get them on stage, and would you mind if we had an opening act? I never said no. I said, sure, that's not a problem. So on June 24th of 1977, the Cars opened up for the Jay Giles Band, and they were quite good. I was pretty impressed. They played most of their new album, or their upcoming album, I guess is the best way to say it. And it was a different type of sound. When they got elected into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I did vote for them, and I thought they were the founders of American new wave music. And I think they were well deserved getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they definitely had a unique sound that no one's duplicated or even tried to that I know of.
Yeah, it's strange. If I had to describe it, I'd say it's a very melodic but stunted sort of music that is tight and quick. It's very hard to describe. And it didn't have a lot of frills to it.
You normally don't hear a guitar like da-da-da-da-da-da with do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Like
yeah,
they
the
mixed
keyboards
that
and whatnot, yeah.
rough-sounding guitar with a weirdo synthesizer. Usually if you hear a synthesizer like that, it's Flock of Seagulls and there's no guitar.
No.
Yeah, so it's a really neat combo. But you said Rick Ocasek was kind of a quiet guy backstage.
Yeah, I've met him a few times, but he didn't really talk much, and he was quite to himself. And I'm not the sort of guy that tries to get on top of somebody and become friends with them if clearly they had their own interests. So I never really got to know Rick very well. And yet I've had him quite a number of times up in Springfield, Hartford, New Haven, and Waterbury, but never really got to know Rick. Never got to know much of the band.
You said something on the air, and it stuck out. And then I watched some videos of the Cars. They didn't move around on stage. They just kind of stood there.
No, and they never drew that well on stage for a band that had as many hits as they did. And I think, and I don't really want to say anything bad about it, you know, the band, because it's really not appropriate, but I'm not so appropriate, so I guess I can say it.
There you go.
But they never quite were exciting on stage. If you wanted to go hear the music that they put on their album, yes. If you wanted to see a great live show, buy the album.
Gotcha.
Right. And the same thing with Boston, I felt. I went to see Boston. They played all the hits, all the songs. This is back, way back.
Yeah.
And they just stood there.
Yeah.
But they played the songs perfectly.
Right.
But they just stood there. And there's something about that, you know, that I think the energy you give, you get back 10 times from the crowd.
Musicians, right. Showmanship.
So everybody just stood there watching them. And there wasn't a lot of energy.
But the
songs were great. The selection was great.
Right,
all of that.
Right.
It's weird.
Yes, the live element is so important. And, you know, I always talk about Bruce Springsteen, and there's the opposite. You hear his album, but you go and see him on stage, and there's a quantum leap between the album and what you see on stage.
So Rick Ocasek was a surprise for us. I didn't know he had heart surgery or heart trouble. Can we talk about some of the deaths in rock music that were a shock to you?
Sure. The most shocking to me was Glenn Frey, personally. I knew him, good guy, I loved his music. His Eagles songs were my favorite Eagles song. I'm a giant Eagles fan, and never knew he had stomach problems. I was with him the July before the January that he died. Never knew of him having issues with his stomach. Spent some time with him. It was in Buffalo, really, that I spent time with him. And seemed perfectly fine. And then within 5 months, he was dead. Within 3 months, he was in the hospital.
Wow.
And it was the most shocking of all the deaths, probably, was Glenn Frey. Also, because he's my age, and that sort of freaked me out.
Exactly.
What was he like? He was really the man with the plan for the Eagles, right?
Yeah, he was the leader of the band. He was the leader of the band, and I was pretty sure they'd never get back together again because it was his band, despite Don Henley being such an important part of the band. But Don himself would admit that Glenn was the engine of the band. I always thought he was a great guy. Then I watched that HBO movie, 4 Hours of the Eagles, and he didn't come off so good in that movie.
No, and it didn't seem like he cared. Like, he wasn't trying to come off good. He was just laying it out there. I felt the same way watching that.
No popularity contest here.
Yeah. That was...
I don't care.
That was, if you want to see what it was like, they told you.
Welcome to it. Yeah.
You got a good
taste. Here's reality.
Just proof that, you know, you can know somebody sort of, but you don't really know them because he was not what he was in that movie.
And Jerry Garcia, that was a shock for me. I didn't know he was even in rehab. I remember exactly where I was when I found out. Did you have any shows on the calendar for the Grateful Dead when Jerry died?
Yes, we had a tour set up. I ran the tours with my partner at the time, John Scher, and we had a whole spring tour set up with 6 Boston Garden dates, 6 Madison Square Garden dates, and 3 Philadelphia Spectrum dates.
Wow.
All set up for September, and I remember exactly where I was, too. Wasn't a surprise because I was on the inside, not on the outside with them, and I had known he had quite a lot of problems and had been in and out of rehab and wasn't quite doing as well as he had a few years ago with his control, and... Nonetheless, I was surprised that he died. Don't get me wrong. I was surprised that he died.
Sounds like you have a little concert going on in your pocket.
Or a large fly.
Yeah, no, it's my ringtone. All you need is love.
Oh, that's cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, so my daughter was just calling me, but that's okay. And my listeners come first, right?
Of course, yes. Yeah, make the money here.
So I was shocked also when that happened. Absolutely shocked.
Elvis Presley, didn't he have a show scheduled for Connecticut when he died?
Yes, he had a show scheduled. It was not my show, but it was scheduled for the New Haven Coliseum, I believe. It wasn't really my show, so I really don't know much about it. And also, not much of an Elvis fan. Never.
Oh, wow. Really?
No.
Huh.
Never got it.
This bothered Elvis greatly.
Look, you know what? I was a little young. I love saying that, but that was not my era.
Yeah.
My era was the Beatles era.
Not yours, not. Yeah.
Era.
There was a thing when I talked to people who were around then, it was a thing between Elvis and the Beatles. It's almost like you had to pick one.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. And I picked the Beatles, but you did have to pick one. It was sort of like politics back then.
Right.
And it was, although I liked the Stones, don't get me wrong, you only could be a fanatic for one or the other.
Right. Gotcha. Leonard Skinner, did they have a show scheduled for Connecticut?
Yes, I actually put the show on sale that morning.
That's right.
They had the plane crash, and we had to announce the show was canceled. And many people held on to their tickets and never traded their tickets in. And unbeknownst to me, the New Haven Coliseum kept all the money. And it sort of pissed me off. I thought that we should have given it to a charity or something.
Definitely, yes.
Huh.
Yeah, and I thought it would be great to go to the surviving band members to suggest a charity and to make a really big deal over the fact that we're giving it to their charity.
Yeah, in honor of,
if somebody doesn't, because people wanted to hold on to their tickets because it was a piece of memorabilia.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd give everybody 2 months. We would announce that if you don't get your money in the next 2 months, we're going to give it to so-and-so charity at the request of the band. But the guy who was running the New Haven Coliseum was too greedy.
Wow.
See that? That's bad karma.
Yes, it is. Dave and Meriden, AC/DC, are they touring in 2020?
I don't know. Do they have a lead singer?
That's an excellent question.
I heard that Brian Johnson was actually back with the band.
Really?
That's what I heard, yes.
Where did you hear that?
I read it, one of these, you know, metal things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like about a month ago or so.
Choir of Music?
No. It wasn't Weekly World News. There was no alien involved. Bat Boy wasn't around, no. Supposedly he's back. That's what I heard.
So we don't know on that one.
Yeah.
No, I've heard nothing about it. Not that they tour that often, but I've heard nothing about it. I actually, you know, that's news that they have that Brian's back in the band. That's great. That means he's feeling better.
I don't even know if I should bring this up.
What's that?
But I heard from somebody a long time ago that AC/DC did something that made you upset.
Well, it didn't make me upset. It made the fire department and the police department of Hartford, Connecticut upset, and they literally were going to put handcuffs on me. It was the, I think it was the Hell's Bells tour in the early 80s up at the Hartford Civic Center. We had a very, very strict fire pyro law, and AC/DC said they're not going to play unless they can set off their pyro at the end of the show, which was quite extensive and quite wonderful, actually, really important part of the show. So I said to myself, well, I've got two choices, to go out and tell 10,000 fans there's no AC/DC show tonight, or take a chance and hope the firemen and the policemen don't tend to this. So the show goes on, and at the end they set off all this pyro, and all of a sudden I go back to my office, and there's the fire department and the police department sitting there, and they go, you've broken the pyro law of the state of Connecticut. We're going to take you to jail. I said nobody got hurt or anything. I of course blamed it on somebody. I don't know anything about it. I wasn't even out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, I'm good at that. And it's an art, by the way, guys. It's an art.
And we're learning.
And so, I mean, I've done it with Billy Joel. I've done it with lots of bands. I blamed somebody else, and it's probably why I'm still in business.
Like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
So they took out handcuffs. And they said, we're going to handcuff you. And thankfully, the road manager of AC/DC said it was, raises his hand, said it was my fault, take me to jail.
Oh, that's good.
What a good guy. Plus, I like handcuffs.
You're a very good guy, but he was English, not an American citizen, and they were concerned about taking an English citizen to jail for such a stupid thing.
Nice move. Oh, very wow. Nice. The international incident, yes.
Right.
That's, you know, the prime minister of the phone going, and then the guy goes, oh, yeah. They've arrested the guy from AC/DC. We should have another Second World War. No, revolutionary wars.
AJ snuck in one of those stealth jokes there. Yeah, the road manager liked to be in handcuffs. Did you hear that earlier? It was a gem.
Thank you.
Well, they made me promise, and AC/DC promised never to do it again.
See that?
So the next year, I worked with the governor, who at the time I believe was Roland, and said, can we send somebody out to see that pyro's done everywhere? And they said, sure. So we paid for the state police fire commissioner to go out to Vegas to see a Paul Anka show.
Really?
There was a lot of pyro in the Paul Anka show, believe it or not.
Really?
And he said, they came back and said, if Paul Anka could do it, it can be done.
That was to keep Paul Anka awake on stage.
No, but look at that. That's brilliant. We're going to send the guy out to Vegas on us.
Nice.
And we're going to send him to Paul Anka.
Right. We'll give him a couple $100 to put in the machines there.
That's brilliant.
Very nice. Very brilliant. Nice. Got a couple ladies
Dave
for him.
Dave in Bridgeport is asking a question that we know the answer to, but I'll let Jimmy answer this one. Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
On sale right now at the XL Center, and very pleased with it. Late November. One of the great shows, two shows, matinee and an evening show. I highly suggest the show. Families go. The matinee now sells better than the evening show.
Wow.
It's a family show. It's great when you're there. It's a great rock show to bring children to.
Ding fries are done, yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to, you're going to hear us talking to TSO, too.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Koblik has this ability when I'm talking to him. I just feel so comfortable. I tell him things I would never tell anyone.
Uh-oh.
Like a ninja.
Not to plans. Is it a plan?
I just told him I'm a Carole King fan. Like, I like her music.
Oh.
Yeah. Exactly. Did you hear what AJ just said?
You just told everybody.
Well, if you're in the right mood, you know.
Right.
The mic is on, Chaz.
Right. She's just a great songwriter.
Okay.
Exactly. It's all about melody.
Yes.
I know her.
I love melodies.
I love melody, too.
Let's see. Brian from Wallingford wants to know, are Offspring touring East Coast at all?
Well, we just had them this summer up at the Xfinity, but I guess they'll come back. But we just had them last month on the Disrupt Festival.
You missed them.
Oops.
Yeah. Damn, I should have advertised it better.
Dang it.
Didn't buy enough PLR.
Ted from Oakville saw Eddie Money at the... Is there a question? Does Jimmy remember? Which show? The Oakdale in 19...
The Round at the Oakdale in 1988 or 1990. He couldn't remember exactly. But somewhere in between that time period, he said they saw Eddie Money on the Round, and during the show, he passed out for like 5 seconds.
That was Eddie.
And then woke up and like was like walking around.
Well,
the
how
stage.
Fast was the stage going? Right. So the stage would go around. Can you describe that to us, Jimmy, what the Round was at the Oakdale, Toyota Presents Oakdale, what it was like?
I was not working with Oakdale at the time, but it was a stage that was sort of like a Lazy Susan turntable.
Yep.
And it would move very, very slowly, because if it moved too quickly, the artists would get dizzy.
Right, and spin them off.
And, but it was a great venue, because it only had 22 rows of seats. And at some point, the artist was right in front of you, 22, at worst, 22 rows. You were 22 rows away, It was great. What we talked about with Eddie Money back on Monday was that my opening show with him actually was with, he opened up for the Doobie Brothers on September 26, 1978. And it was the first time I had seen Eddie Money. And I thought he was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, nice guy, too, every time we've talked to him.
Very nice.
You feel like you're talking to just a regular guy.
Very personable, like a good friend.
Yeah, and hanging with him was a lot of fun, because back in the 70s, nobody gave a damn what they were doing,
nope.
And we had a blast together. And it really, he's just a regular guy. It's the perfect way to put it, a regular guy who got famous.
Veronica in Brantford, Morrissey and Interpol, Connecticut Tennis Center. Mm.
So she saw them in, I want to say Queens, I think she said. I guess they performed at a tennis court, and she was like, it was such an amazing and unique show. Would they ever consider doing something like that in Connecticut? Because it's an unused space when there's no tournaments happening.
Right.
Well, the show did play the Forest Hills Tennis Center, the old venue that used to hold the tennis. So that's correct. The problem I find with the tennis center in New Haven is it's a very round venue. If you put a stage up, you're using up about a third of the seats are side stage or rear stage. So the capacity drops dramatically. We did Crosby, Stills and Nash there. Ran very successfully, it's just, to me, not a real concert venue.
Right.
Gotcha.
Speaking of concert venues, how's Bridgeport coming?
Bridgeport's coming great. We actually put the steel in. We're starting to build the offices, and sometime before it gets cold, we'll probably bring a video camera there and take a lot of videos and give people a really good sense of what's going on. We're looking for a July opening.
Awesome.
Fun.
Excellent, man. Can't
nice.
Wait. Cannot wait.
And Friends of Jimmy, open right now.
Open right now. Go do it. We are sending out all the 2020 shows that are going on sale. We're sending out everything as soon as it goes on sale. Four to eight tickets a show, usually.
4 to 8, you get first dibs. And how much is it to get in?
It's now $325. I did the PLR special of $299 for about a month and a half.
Look at you.
That's right. So, yeah. $325, and you get first dibs on all these shows, and you can split it with 4
exactly.
people.
Exactly. It's
yeah.
a bargain, man.
It's a bargain.
So. Yeah, it's friendsofjimmy.com. We'll email you about the show. You just tell us how many tickets you want. We'll have your credit card on file, and then we'll mail you the tickets. It's the easiest way to buy tickets.
This is the music we're going to use now to play you in and out.
Nice.
Thank you, Jimmy Koplik.
That was Jimmy Koplik.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Right, thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.